live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and this is episode number 82. That sounds right. 82.
Okay.
I'll go with that.
All
right. We're going to be visiting with Cass Martin. It's Miss Zumba, Zumba lady.
Oh, yeah. She's on the cover of the Wii Zumba. Is that what you said?
Yeah. And then she travels all over the place teaching people about loving Zumba. And she teaches in Utah County here in the state of Utah. That'd be weird to have Utah County in like Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
But we'll visit with her on the second and third block. Maybe you don't even know what Zumba is. She goes all into it. And about why Zumba is so popular with the ladies. And about why it's so popular amongst the Mormon folk. So make sure you stick around and listen to that. It's myself, Richie T, joined with Lindsay.
Hello, how are you?
A pleasure. I'm great. It's great to have you here. I want to share a few emails, actually, today in the Cultural Hall that we've been receiving. So we get a bunch, and I haven't been as good about sharing them with people. So let me do that. This first email is from Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Richie, he says. So I address that as everyone.
Uh-huh.
Since I was recently critical on Facebook of the Elder Jensen Jody Arias episode, I wanted to let you know that I've listened to two episodes recently that I really enjoyed. Now, for people who don't know, we did an article about the elder who taught Jody Arias. She's the woman who's accused and in trial for killing her boyfriend. She's admitted to doing it, say it was in self-defense, but we talked to the missionary that taught her the gospel. That's what episode he's talking about. He said, I've really enjoyed two episodes. They are the Alex Boyer episode and the Jeff Parkin episode. Those are some of our more recent episodes. He says, you've done some other good episodes, but I really enjoyed these and found them both interesting and inspirational. Keep up the good work, Robert. So I enjoyed hearing that not only that he was willing to share how he felt about the episodes that he didn't like so much, which is fine. I'll take constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. I can take it. But also that he would continue to listen and go, you know what? I like this other thing.
I'll give this another chance.
I got this email from a guy by the name of Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Steve says, hey, I'm the PR director for FAIR. Do you know what FAIR is?
I do not.
I know what they are, but I don't know what FAIR stands for. So give me one second. I can't remember off the top of my head, and I'm sure that
is it like FAIR?
Uh-huh. People are yelling at their radios right now that I don't know what it is, and it's not. Oh crap! FairMormon.org. What does it stand for? It's
Friends and
Interested Responsibility. Now, what does it stand for? Hang on. They essentially defend Mormonism, but why can't I think of what FAIR? Hang on. I'm going to Google search this live.
This is fascinating radio.
This is the best way to do this. What does FAIR stand for? All right. It's not going to... What? Get... oh, geez. I'm going to edit all this out, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
It's probably a good idea.
Where is it? It's dumb that it's not. There it is. Okay. Let's go back a little bit. Okay, so now I got this email. This is from Steve. Steve is, let me get to his email real quick. It says, I'm the PR director for FAIR. Do you have any idea what FAIR stands for?
Not a clue.
It stands for, now I clicked to the wrong page, the Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research.
Okay.
Which is kind of a misnomer, whatever. We'll talk to him when we get into interviewing him. But he says, we recently published the second edition of the Shaken Faith Syndrome, which is a book. Would you be interested in interviewing the author, Mike Ash? Please let me know, and I have a courtesy copy forwarded to you. So I said, sure, you bet. Let's do it. Send it along. But I said, let's also set up a time where we can just interview the folks from FAIR, because it's a pretty interesting organization that defends Mormonism. And so those are two future episodes of the Cultural Hall.
Okay, so how does it defend Mormonism? What is the purpose?
Well, so it's things like people will say, oh, well, back in the day, you guys used to have black people in the priesthood, but now you don't anymore. And so what they'll do is they'll research. It's an organization that researches a bunch of stuff and says, okay, well, here's what the facts are about what you're talking about.
Okay.
Here is what is not accurate. And so, yeah, that's where I don't care for the misnomer of like defending Mormonism, and you know what I'm saying? It's,
right.
It seems like it's like, I think we got this.
But it seems like a good work that they're doing.
Absolutely.
If they're trying to report what's actually knowledge, not just the rumors.
Yeah. And to just put a lot of accurate information in people's hands. Mm-hmm. I really like that. This is from a guy that I can't tell you. He says, name withheld. Hey, so it's not addressed to me, so it might as well be addressed to you.
Hey,
Lindsay.
Hey, how are you?
I'm still a convert. Lots of podcasts, so little time.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to thank you for using my letter in episode number 76 about spousal abuse. It is an incredibly good podcast that I passed along to some friends without, of course, letting them know who wrote that awesome letter. Between that and some other events, a thought precipitated into action in reality. Mild action, he started his own blog. He says, I know you're busy, but I don't get a whole lot of people who have been X'd, and I'd like to see if I could get any thoughts, critiques from you or anyone else on your crew. And then he shares where it's at. So I will share it for people to give him some feedback. It's reconverted.org. Any thoughts, advice, critique, guidance would be appreciated, or you could just ignore this altogether. Free agency. I blogged about that. Thanks. Still withholding his name.
So he has one that has been excommunicated?
And reconverted, as I recall.
And started this website called reconverted.org. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, just a way to be able to share kind of his story with people.
Yeah.
So that is another one. Here we go. Here's the one I was really looking for in all of this. Bonjour.
Ça va?
What does that mean?
How's it going?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty simple for... How's it going?
Well, yeah. Va is like to go, so.
Okay.
How's it going?
Bonjour from Algeria, says this email.
Okay.
To Richie and the team, as it's called. I am a lifer, not only because I've listened to every episode, but also because I started listening from the foundation of the Cultural Hall. I remember one of the first episodes Richie was talking about his dream of having someone listening to the podcast in a boat off of Australia. At the time, I was living on an island off of Australia and thought, close enough.
That's
much
awesome.
Like many of the church founders, I did fall away from the podcast twice. Once when I was listening to a really good book series, and the second time when I had an upcoming French test and only listened to things in French.
Mm.
I'm flying home to Paris tomorrow, and I wanted to email first to say how much I love all of the different hosts. At first, I disagreed with Richie and thought that you should have just stuck to having Lauren and Richie, but everyone has really grown on me, even Brother Kyle.
Oh, that's nice.
I do think you should have an episode on the different hosts.
Oh.
I think we will.
Yeah.
Second, I passed this place walking home from work, and I'll post this. This will be a blog post that'll post this week, but he says, I passed this place walking home from work and thought it was funny and wanted to send a pic. It's a place. It's a pic of a place called the Culture Hall.
The Culture Hall.
Lastly, I wanted to suggest two different ideas for guests. Number one, first, a foreign service family. You had the power couple that used to be a foreign service couple. That's the Sherinians. That was episode in the 60s somewhere. But they focus on their current life, and I think it would be interesting to talk to families currently serving, since it's a lifestyle many members of the church and most Americans know nothing about. So first suggestion, a foreign service family. Second, when we first started attending our ward in Paris, I met a very nice, beautiful woman who is the primary president. A few people joked about our supermodel primary president, but it wasn't until later that I learned she used to be a French model and currently works as a journalist, I believe, for Elle magazine. Anyway, she can talk about being LDS and a model and life in Paris. I asked her and she said I could send you her info.
I would be fascinated by that. That's right up my
alley. You guys are great,
alley.
And I love the podcast. Chris.
Thanks, Chris, for listening in Algeria. Is that where you said he was?
Yep. He said, bonjour from Algeria,
okay.
Making his way back to France, to
Old
Paris,
Paris,
where he's from. To Paris. And there's a picture of the Cultural Hall, like I said. Check that out.
The Culture Hall.
Isn't that cool?
That's so great.
That's kind of fun. So that I'll post that as kind of a plea, or not a plea, a post for people to check out.
And Chris, I have a French minor, but I can't speak a word of it to you. So besides ça va, ça va bien. Je parle un peu de français, mais c'est tout.
I know. Je suis un ananas.
You are a banana? You said I am a banana?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a banana.
Uh-huh.
Wait, what's pineapple? How do you say pineapple? I always thought it was I am a pineapple.
Know. Oh, maybe it's pineapple.
Yeah, I think it is pineapple. Because do you remember the old French TV show where all the little puppets talk?
Oh, okay.
Like there's a lamb or something that speaks in French.
Oh, okay.
Oh, je suis. Oh, na, na, na. That's all I remember.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it is pineapple. See, I'm terrible at French.
Yeah. So,
but I have French a minor. Huh? Yep. Studied it in college.
That's where you'll go on your mission when you're older.
Yes. I can't wait. I'd love to be fluent in it.
Lastly, the last thing I want to bring up here in the Cultural Hall is... Well, I guess two things. One, if you go to theculturalhall.com, if you look on the right-hand side, there's a place you can subscribe to our newsletter. At present, our newsletter doesn't have a name. So if you have suggestions of names that you would like that to be, we would love to have those suggestions. You can always email them, richie@theculturalhall.com, or send them to the Contact Us tab at theculturalhall.com. But we're going to start doing a once-a-month newsletter to everyone who is subscribed to that. So we encourage you to go and subscribe to that. There's two steps to it. You have to put it in your email address, and then you have to verify it so you're not just putting in spam stuff. But please do. We'd love to have you do that. And then secondly, we're going to start focusing on mission stories from people who listen to the Cultural Hall. And we're going to make this a big plea, not only with folks that listen to the Cultural Hall, but all throughout the church, just to send mission stories. Hopefully sometime this week, maybe the first part of next week, we'll kind of give the guidelines as to how many words, you know, we kind of want it to be or how long. But the idea is all kinds of stories. Like, I was so depressed and I overcame it. Or
the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah, it's going every part of mission because, you know, missions, oftentimes we hear mission stories and it's like, yeah, and it went so great. And then the angels came and everything like that. But we want to get stories from people telling about their mission.
How it was real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're going to make that as a weekly thing that people will be able to go and see a new post. Also, this week. At theculturalhall.com, we will be kicking off the single spotlight. We've had that tab there for a while, but we will have information as you click through there. And Melissa, who is our first person that we're single spotlighting. I want people to be very clear, though, that what we're doing is not saying, hey, hook up with this person, whatever. Yeah. What it is amazing single individuals within the church telling a little bit about themselves. And there will be a way that you can... you know, kind of contact them if you're like, man, this person seems like someone that I would really get to know. And it's going to be up to the individuals whether or not they contact you. But it's more of a spotlight saying, check out how amazing this single person is. And it's a single spotlight and it'll go opposite genders each week. So like Melissa will be our first one. Then we're looking for a gentleman.
Sort
to do next week's and so on and so forth. So that's going on. Lots of things going on. If you have suggestions for episodes, you can always email them to richie@theculturalhall.com. Contact us. You can follow us on Twitter. You know who started following us yesterday?
Who?
Nick Emery. Do you know who that is?
I don't.
He plays for Lone Peak High School's basketball team.
Oh, the national champion. Yes. Lone Peak basketball team.
And so we have sent a message out to him saying, hey, why don't you bring some of the guys and we'll do an episode.
Yeah.
But you can always follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, find us on Pinterest, email us suggestions, whatever it is that you be, we want it to be what you want to listen to.
You know who did the live tweeting during the second session of the Saturday afternoon conference?
Right there.
This girl.
And did you love it?
I thought it was fun.
Isn't it fun?
My husband was sitting there with me and he's like, tweet this, tweet this. Yeah. I was like, see, this is fun, huh?
And I loved it because I ended up tweeting a couple sessions. I tweeted the Sunday morning and the priesthood session.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it because... it kept me awake.
Yeah. And I listened and paid attention to every word. And we follow a lot of people on our Cultural Hall Twitter page. And so I could see what everyone else in the, like, you know, just...
it's called the Twitter stake.
The Twitter stake. Yeah. What everyone else in the Twitter stake was tweeting. So mm-hmm. I learned a lot.
Yeah, very, very cool. So mm-hmm. make sure you do that. We'll do that again, obviously, next conference. And anytime that there's big news, you can find it there. I think we're done, right?
I think we did it.
Should we move into the second and third block?
Absolutely.
All right, stick around. It's Zumba.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. Want to take a second and tell you about my buddy Dylan over at Lennon Design. Go to LennonDesign.com to see some of the stuff that he's done. Or, you know what, better yet, go to theculturalhall.com and look at all the graphic stuff that we have there at that website. You know who's done that? Dylan at Lennon Design. He's offering a special deal for people in the Cultural Hall, a 10% discount. You know why it's 10%, right? And all you have to do is just give him a call, 801-699-3022. Any sort of graphic artwork or website design that you might need, give him a call. Think about Lennon Design. You know, they sponsor your favorite podcast.
Time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's block two here and sitting down with Cass Martin,
who, hey.
who I'm reading a little bit about on Huffington Post right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cass Martin, for those who don't know, let me read.
Please.
HuffingtonPost.com is a celebrity instructor and one of the leading education specialists for Zumba. That's trademark registered.
That's right.
The world's largest branded dance fitness company with more than 12 million participants in 110,000 locations across 125 countries. That sounds tiring. Certified
but exciting.
certified in group fitness by the Aerobics and Fitness Association of America, AFAA, and the American Council on Exercise, ACE. She is a leading authority for educating others about Zumba fitness and promoting its goals, etc.
That's right.
So here we go. Cass,
hey.
Thanks for being here. And we should throw a huge thanks out to, make sure I get this right, mm-hmm. the folks at Old Town Grill
in Provo, downtown Provo, on the corner of Center Street and 300 West.
Like you could, seconds away, you could walk to the new Temple Knackle that's going to be built.
Easily.
And it's beautiful, old-timey Provo.
That's awesome. Right. It's got the charm.
You got the drugstore right across the way and...
police station.
Police station over there and the new conference or convention center just mm-hmm. right over there.
Covey Art Center. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. happening in place.
Yeah, downtown Provo.
That's right.
Experience it.
That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Come here for dinner, go to a show at the Covey. You're welcome.
Stay for eternity, Provo, Utah. All right, Cass. So let's get the story. So Zumba, what... First of all, tell people what Zumba is. That was kind of a introduction.
Okay, well, so what Zumba is or what Zumba is to me might be two different things. For me, Zumba is finally a workout that's fun, a place for you to meet friends, a workout that you're actually going to adhere to because you want to come back because it's actually something you enjoy. Mm-hmm. For years and years, workouts have been nothing but work, and Zumba has changed that idea. It's a Latin-inspired dance cardio workout, a fitness party. So we have rhythms from all over the world, really. You have Bollywood, salsa, merengue, hip-hop, cha-cha-cha, and there are routines to the songs, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of repetition recognition, so it's designed for success for the students who participate. And more than anything, it's a stress reliever, it's fun, and it's a calorie blaster sweat fest.
Yeah. How did you first hear about it?
Well, when I was baby, my mom got into step aerobics.
Sure.
So she has taught step aerobics since I was born, which is 30 years old.
Today?
I feel like an... No,
oh,
not
I was
today.
Say, the way you said that made it sound like I should have brought
well,
a birthday
I am
gift or
trying,
something.
I'm trying to hold on to just barely 30 as long as I can. I think I'm going to turn 30 again in May.
Okay.
But when she wanted to retire, and she thought that she was done teaching, and she said, she tried to get my older sister... who's 6 years older.
Take that.
To take over my mom's class. And she didn't want to teach. My mom's an excellent teacher, and we figured that all of her students wanted her, not us. So she tried to get me to
right.
take
it's
over
it's like
her
trying
class.
To take over for a legend. It's like, yeah, oh.
I know.
It's not like the days of, what's your mom's name?
Laura.
Oh, Laura. It's not like Laura's class.
Totally. And I just, I didn't think that I was an instructing type. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I go there. I'm not the type to... My mom's class is ridiculously early, too. So that was a problem in itself. 5:45, I don't wake up that
Ooh,
early.
Okay.
So anyway, so she wanted me to take over her class. I didn't want to do that. After I had my second child...
How many do you have now?
Two.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. She was very, very difficult.
The second one was.
The second one,
physically?
I mean... No, or she like just cried.
Second she came out, it's like, shut up.
Oh, totally. She cried, honestly, first night we got her home, 5 hours straight. I called the hospital. I'm like, what happened with this child? I thought I was the best mom because my son did everything perfectly. He slept. He ate. He hardly fussed. I mean, he was just like the gem child, and I thought it had everything to do with me.
Sure. It's important that you compare children because exactly, every child is the same.
So then my little girl comes down, and I'm like, apparently it had nothing to do with me and all about personality. And she cried for about the first 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And she's still crying over everything and nothing.
In fact, Cass left her in the car. She's
she's still is crying. The windows are all fogged up. She's in there steaming.
Poor crying child. That's not true. Settle down.
Settle down, folks. So I needed an outlet, and I wasn't going to take over my mom's class. I still was very adamant about that, but she found another fitness format for me. So I tried it, and I liked it, and I taught it for about 3 months, but I was taking over someone's class who had gone away for a wedding break. She came back, and I lost my class.
A wedding break?
Yeah, like she was on like maternity leave, like wedding leave. For 3 months.
I can't teach. I'm getting married.
Yeah. And I'm going to relax because, you know, Bridezilla.
Okay.
I think it was maybe a small case
of
that.
Break. Yeah. All right. Wedding leave.
So then somebody introduced me, the owner of the gym, said, why don't you go take a Zumba training? Why don't you become a Zumba instructor? And I was like, what is Zumba? So I went to one class. I signed up that day to go take a training. That weekend, I took a training, and I was licensed to teach Zumba. So after that point, I learned all my songs, and I started teaching. And people were coming.
Mm-hmm.
People were coming, and they were staying, and they were coming back. Mm-hmm. And for me, it became something that was a huge outlet for me because it's not just going and working out. There's a social thing with it. You see these people every day. It's a lot like a community, and you would be surprised at, like, I look at my group of friends that I see all the time, and it's every background, every age, every nationality, and it's all because we all come together in this fitness class, and we all come and relieve stress. So after that, I was hooked. I have not done a single workout other than Zumba since, and that was
amazing.
4.5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
No lifting weights at all? No, none of that stuff? Just Zumba.
Just Zumba. If I'm on a vacation, like I'm leaving tomorrow for Christmas break, I will go, my in-laws are big walkers, so I'll go walking with the women, or I'll run on the treadmill, or I'll practice my routines, but I rarely do anything else. It's just when I'm on vacation and I'm not teaching, then I'll go run, but I'll be listening to my Zumba music, or I'll be choreographing. So that's been my whole workout since I started it. So I know that other people will like it because it changed my idea of working out. So I totally believe in it. I am a true believer.
Yeah, this is actually a Zumba intervention.
I know, right? I have my family addicted behind the curtain.
They're here because they care about you.
They think they've had enough. I have enough Zumba in my life. Really, it's been a really cool thing for me. A good stress reliever. My father passed away a year ago and was...
Sorry to hear.
I know, it was a bummer,
right?
You know, and he thought that this little Zumba thing was like the funnest thing to see his daughter. And then I got my other sister to be an instructor. I won her over.
Did you get your dad to come to class ever?
He came to class, but he only watched.
Okay.
Well, he said, are people supposed to have a medical release for this? You know, your hips are doing things I've never seen possible. Yeah, he came, and I also have taught a Zumba for kids called Zumbatomic, and he came and watched that class, too. So
and he couldn't even give it on the kid one, huh?
No, he just watched. He watched with pure delight.
World's best watcher.
That's right, he is. Oh, yeah, spectator.
So you made mention to something earlier. Actually, a couple of things I want to bring up. One is, so the routines. Is it similar to how the church is set up in that I could go to any Zumba class anywhere and no routines?
Nice segue.
Right?
So what it is, okay, so
or
anyone...
Or is it, oh, Cass, well, she's got the this kind of thing, and if you want, you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. Everybody, the good thing about Zumba is freedom for individuality.
Mm-hmm.
So just like when you would go to a Sunday school class, everybody is reading from the same manual, but everybody has different takes on how they would teach it to the participants in the class. So I have freedom to add in different songs, like you would have freedom to add in different quotes or different stories or different life experiences. Actually, I teach in Relief Society, and yes, we all read the lesson, but everybody has their own spin on it. So every class is different. It has the same concepts where it's 70% international rhythms mixed with other world rhythms. There's the warm-up, which is three songs, Zumba dances, and then a cool-down. Mm-hmm. And there are certain rules to how you structure a song with the choreography.
Hmm.
Bass moves to different rhythms. But there's a lot of freedom for individuality in people's approach and how they teach their class.
So are there some teachers similar to the LDS church that are like, according to Zumba doctrine, and then they go off on a tangent and it's like Zumba?
Yes, I think that there is something.
The greatest comparison ever.
I know, I'm loving it. So what I like to say, like in Utah, uh-huh. you find Mormon doctrine. And then you find Mormon culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people get wrapped up in the culture. Like, you are a mom and you have five kids and you drive your minivan and you don't have an outside job. I know. What? What? Were we just talking about my minivan with 200,000 miles? But there is, the doctrine remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's the same principles, the same concepts, where in Zumba, a lot of people do get catty and they do a lot of comparison and they say, oh, well, my class is this and this person's class is this. I think that there is something in religion, there is something for everyone to receive from religion. Yes, you may go to church, you may find people that are very different than you and have different walks of life than you, and maybe you don't like how they taught that concept or that lesson, but you're leaving feeling there's something that you can take away from that. Where in our classes, and when you go to like a convention where there's all these different instructors, there's so much individuality, but there's something you can take away from every single teacher because they're bringing their own personal spin on it. Did I make that comparison
right?
I think that's great.
Yeah, okay. That's great.
All right.
All right. Coming back in the third block, I'm gonna contest you a little bit because I don't have an issue necessarily with Zumba,
mm-hmm.
but I want to see how you respond to this. So that's a tease.
Uh-oh.
That's a vague tease.
Dun, dun, dun.
Coming back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. 5576 to book your shoot today.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Here is the thing. I've heard it from my wife. I've also heard it from other people as well. Being certified as a Zumba teacher is too easy. And it also, the feeling is that, oh, well, anyone can be a Zumba teacher.
Yeah.
And you made mention to it. You were able to be certified within a weekend.
A day. I got an answer for that.
So isn't it, I mean, there's passion that drives it. And certainly you're not the same instructor now. And you know, having to have a class where people attend and being good at it, that's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But shouldn't there be, where you're impacting men and women's bodies, some sort of knowledge about the human body, including, you know, the dance routines and this is how this thing gets put together and all of that?
Okay. So you mentioned something very important here. You said certified to be an instructor, which is not what we do.
Okay.
We license people to teach Zumba. If you're certified, that means that you have taken a test and you passed a test.
Okay.
So what you do in a training for Zumba is you learn the core basic steps or the core basic rhythms
mm-hmm.
of Zumba, how to form a class, how to choreograph routines, things like that. Now, at that point, you are licensed to teach Zumba for a year. I feel like I truly do feel like there is a class for everyone. Mm-hmm. I do think that you need to have basic knowledge and understanding of the body. Now, for what I do, I had to go and take those AFA and that ACE, those fitness tests, mm-hmm. because I am a leader in the industry and not only instructing. But I didn't take those tests for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was just tried to make my classes personal to me and bring my own personal touch to them,
mm-hmm.
because numbers will show you if you're doing a good job or not,
yeah.
right? It's proven, the proof is in the pudding. If people are coming back, then you're doing a good job. Now, I don't think that every class, every teacher who has a lot of students is necessarily the most in shape, has the best body, the best moves, a dancer background, a fitness background, but people are coming for different reasons. Mm-hmm. They're not coming, they're not hiring that instructor as like a personal trainer to train them. They are going to that class for multiple different reasons. Sometimes the reason why someone will love an instructor is simply the feeling that the instructor gives them, the personal attention. They know them by name. Mm-hmm. They know when they're gone. They are recognized. They feel important. And the workout and the calories burned and the physical results are just a side
secondary,
note.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's the difference, where people are coming to Zumba classes for a million different reasons. But I think that just like a lawyer goes to law school does not ensure that they're actually a good lawyer. Mm-hmm. You can go and take any test, and you can go and take those fitness tests, and you can have all the knowledge up here in your brain of the body and the mechanics and how they work. But can you actually make people feel good and important and energize a whole classroom of people? That you can't test in that test. That's something that only the individual will have to build on that and be successful through their own work. I mean, I remember watching videos and watching like Dancing with the Stars and watching how their body moves and watching the videos I get from Zumba, having it on the TV, having a mirror right next to it, and I'm watching myself comparing myself to the dancers on the screen. Because I danced in high school only because I slept through soccer tryouts, you know? And so then I took a dance class.
You will do something, young lady.
I know. I was
if
like,
it's not soccer.
I know. I was like, okay, I got to do something. So then I took a dance class, and that's where my passion for dance came. But after high school, I was done. Mm-hmm. Then someone quit the team at UVSC, and they asked me to join the team, and I was like, okay.
Team? What team?
The dance team. We were the song leaders.
Oh, okay.
So we would dance like at the...
I had no idea.
Hey. I would dance at the...
Like a drill team? Or is it like a modern dance company?
No, it wasn't. They had a modern dance company, I think, called Fire and Ice.
Okay.
And we were the song leaders. Like dance team.
Like
so
the girls with
at
the flags.
Pep rallies. Okay. Not even that.
Not flag girls.
Not a flag girl, not a modern dancer, but the ones that you would see at the sidelines at the games cheering
cheerleaders.
On. Kind of cheerleaders, but we would dance. So
dancing
it's weird. They had the cheerleaders.
How
yeah,
about
so
song
we were
leaders? Can we call them song leaders?
Oh, I said that word three times. Okay. So I was like, yes, I have been calling it that. So it was song leaders. So I did that. I danced for the Olympics, like at the hockey games. It was really cool. But then I was done until my daughter kind of pushed me to find an outlet, because I think I needed to find success somewhere, because I clearly felt like I was failing as a parent. It was really hard for me. I cried every day when she was young. I still cry a lot because I feel like you feel very defeated when you're trying so
hard.
Why can't
I get this right where
totally.
This will stop?
You sure. know, and so I found something that kind of gives me that feeling of success where I'm lacking in other areas, because I think that she and I are
gonna
kindred.
Fight a whole lot.
But I think that we are kindred spirits in the fact that I feel like she was my best friend before here, you know, but she fights me as much as anybody could.
That's what happens when your daughter and you are the same person.
I know. And she gets along with my husband so well. Go mm-hmm. figure. Because my husband and I get along so well. And my little boy is like my husband.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
And so we are like these little opposites in our family.
Yeah. Why do you think that Zumba's caught on so much within the church? Because there is an award that I have gone to that it's not like, now ladies, 6 o'clock in the morning this Wednesday and every Wednesday, make sure you come.
You know, I think that it's caught on everywhere.
I don't think it's church inclusive?
I just think that it's not church exclusive. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, unless we were a religion that you couldn't dance, which some people, when I go and travel, they're like, I didn't know Mormons could dance. You're a Mormon? And I'm like, well, yeah, we can dance. We can listen to music. And, you know, I think that you're thinking I had like a long braid and a jumper on or something. Yeah. But I'm Mormon. I think you're getting confused.
Kevin Bacon can't dance. What?
Right?
Oh, wait, that's not the same thing.
Lose. You don't have six wives at home? No, I sure wish. Yeah. That's not part of my religion, but that sure would be handy when I'm gone. Okay. And I need someone to do all the things that I'm not doing when I'm gone.
Take care of your kids.
Yep. I think that it kind of lets people, I think that in the church maybe, you're very goal driven. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be successful. You want your family to stay close. You want to be strong in your religion and in your testimony. You want your kids to be successful. You want them to have extracurricular activities. You want them to be good, upstanding adults when they grow up. And I think that Zumba classes all over are a way for people to just relax. Just relax. Maybe unleash that inner sex kitten that's been buttoned up driving the minivan, you know, and just have fun and dance. Because I lost that fun. I would go to like wedding receptions and mm-hmm. do like only a step touch, and I'm like, I felt so uncoordinated.
We're gonna keep it right here. Just step
and we're gonna
touch.
Keep it tight right here. Yeah, we're gonna keep it right safe. Keep it close. That's what I felt, and I'm like, I swear I had more moves than this. I swear it. So then when I started working on those DVDs and studying my movement, I felt like I was finally able to like express myself freely and actually dance. And I feel like I'm a better dancer now than I ever was before, because it's much more freedom of expression. I think that members of the church and women, it's just a good outlet. You get very busy with your families, and there's nothing wrong with that, and that's good. But it's also good to have something to remind yourself why you're still fun. Because mm-hmm. you don't feel fun all mm-hmm. the time doing your mom duties, because you need to have structure.
Do you feel fun, Molly?
When I'm in Cass's class, I sure
That's
do.
That's right.
I really do.
I make her. I encourage her to shake it extra hard.
It's true. She does.
You got carpool today. Shake it extra hard.
No kidding. I wanted to ask you. You travel a lot, and you. I don't know if people know that you are a significant face of Zumba. I've seen you on The View. I've seen you on Martha Stewart's show. One of her shows that she had. I've seen, you know, you're on the Wii. Is that mm-hmm. the Wii game when people dance along, they're dancing
yeah,
with
you? Yeah,
you can play
Cass as one of the characters.
Really?
Yeah.
So
go get it for Christmas.
Yep. Yeah.
$39.99.
That's
sold at GameStop.
You don't get a little hit of that, do you?
No.
No.
So are
winky,
you?
Winky?
For real.
Oh, really?
I wish I was winking. No, it's a great project to be a part of. An opportunity, there's no price you can put on opportunity. You know?
So how do they do that, though? They're like, hey, dance. And then they just videotape you and you.
It's a huge process. They have us suggest songs, but they have a whole music company that works in Zumba's music company that also works with Majesco, who is a video game producer. Uh-huh. Then they solidify the music. Then they send us music. We send them choreography. They tell us to fix things. We send them back our fixes of our choreography. Then we go to one of the best studios around for motion capture. We put on the black suit with all the sensors.
Cool.
And you have to do the routine flawless, because however you do it is how your character is going to forever do it in every game.
Right,
worldwide.
So if you mess up when you're playing the game with your kids, it's like,
I knew I messed up. So you have to do it sometimes over and over. One time I was I deemed myself the mocap queen, because it was one and done.
Really?
I somehow nailed every song one time and got to move through, because you're in a very restricting suit. You don't want to keep doing it, and it traps in all the heat.
Mm.
Have you seen Love Actually?
Yeah.
No, not Love Actually. Darn it. With Steve Carell. He's like, I am basting in my own sweat.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what I'm doing. In the motion capture, you're just trapped in there.
Oh, you're on the cover?
I'm on the cover of the Wii.
Jeez.
So that's how I look with a fan and a makeup artist. This version in this podcast doesn't look as good as her.
Stop it.
And so when people recognize you, or when they get a chance to meet you, when you're traveling all around the country, does it ever come up? Do they say, I know you're Mormon? Or are they surprised to learn it if someone else mentions it? Does that ever come up?
A little of both. I have pictures on Facebook and of me at the temple with my husband,
right,
and at weddings, and I mean there's nothing, I would never not say that I'm
of
Mormon.
Course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, of course.
But I'm not like, hey, my name's Cass Martin, I am Mormon, uh-huh, and I'm a Zumba instructor. Because some people,
unless the I'm a Mormon people asked you to say
that's
that.
That's right.
And then
hey,
you would.
Then I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
wink,
so
wink.
Some people you hear. So there are oftentimes people say, you know, you're from Utah. Are you Mormon? Or if they're members, are you a member?
Yeah.
And I say, yes, I am. Oh, I knew you were. I could just tell it. Some people are surprised, mm-hmm, because they think that Mormons are so different than mm-hmm them. And then they meet me and they think that we're so similar. And then they find out that I'm that different Mormon.
Yeah.
And so it takes them by surprise. And then there's some people who are members, and I think that it's a great opportunity for me to be an example of a member of the church. You know, I'm in fitness apparel all the time. So there are many hours not in my...
You can say garments.
Okay, we can say garments on this. All right. Why not? Do you know what that is? Yeah. So there are many hours that I'm not in my garments, and I always try and hurry and go home and get changed back into my garments because that's where I feel safe. But it is a fitness class, and so there are people who have noticed when I go out, I'm still wearing garment-worthy clothing, and even if it's a fancier, dressier thing, they have written me messages on Facebook. You know, I just admire that you are always dressing modest, and I really appreciate when people notice that because I don't want to shove it in anyone's face that I'm Mormon, right. But I definitely want to let people know. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of letting them know. I'm not afraid of what they think of Mormons. Sometimes I didn't serve a mission, mm-hmm. and I'm not a detail-oriented person. So I forget a lot of the stories I've learned over the years. Mm-hmm. And I'm more a spirit of the law person rather than letter of the law, where I don't remember all those details of all the stories and what year this happened and why this happened. And but would any, you know, could anybody try me on my testimony? No. But could they try me on the facts of the church? Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. But and I've gotten into some people ask me, you know, what are those garments? You know, why didn't Joseph Smith give the blacks the priesthood right
sure.
away? And I
any
get
of those things
all, you know, just the questions that people outside of the church wonder and people inside of the church wonder. So it's been good for me to strengthen my own testimony or my own understanding of certain things. And just rather than being like, I don't know, having an answer for those questions, if should they arise.
Yeah. Wonderful.
I'm looking at this picture, though. Have you been harassed that it's not quote-unquote modest? Have you had anyone say,
no,
and do the connection and be like, you know, that's bare midriff, any of
the
that
only
kind of
person
stuff?
Who has questioned me on it is my husband.
And how did that go?
Because what's funny is I never work out in sports bras in my classes or my master classes or my trainings. Mm-hmm. But corporate, whenever I do things, like for the commercial, there's a commercial right now out for the games, and I'm in a sports bra and leggings, or for the cover of the Wii, or for promotional things, a lot of times I am in a sports bra and pants. And he just said, you know, it's going to be hard when our kids are at an older age, and they're wondering, okay, why can't I wear a two-piece, but yet my mom is wearing a sports bra and pants and promotional material?
That's right.
And it's a good question.
It is.
You know? And it's one that he and I don't know that we've come to a right answer on it. Mm-hmm. No matter which way you spin Zumba, it's a fitness company, and I don't look at that ad as being me. I look at that ad as promoting a fitness company. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I don't give myself like, oh, I'm on the cover of the Wii all over the world, and I don't feel all spectacular about it. I think that was a good photo shoot for what they were trying to mm-hmm. show other people what Zumba is. So I take the personal attachment out of it. So I don't look at that and think that's me. I don't know how to explain
yeah,
it.
I get you.
Yeah.
You just tell your daughter, listen, if you can make lots of money,
I know, right?
You're not wearing very much clothing. That's fine. That's all.
But no, that's the kind of thing that he would say to me. Like,
I am
so what
sure.
if it's for yeah. work, huh?
Yeah. So I can hear that conversation where you go, yeah.
I know, and it's just like I haven't found that thing. I don't look at it as being lingerie. I don't look at it as I am promoting a fitness company. And I think fitness is so many wonderful things, so I don't put them in the same thing. I look
and it'd look really weird if you're wearing, you know, your Home Depot t-shirt
right?
and your, you know, sweatpants.
There is something to be said of there's a certain attire that also goes with certain professions. You know, if I was mm-hmm. a swimmer, I'd be wearing a swimmer swimsuit. If I was
a dancer,
yeah. I'd have all those shimmery outfits, which I'm not going to say I don't want that. I would love right. those fancy outfits. And I look at it more as a costume.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But
it's your uniform.
But no one else has asked me about it. And when that came out, when that cover came out and it's being sold in the mall and at Costco, and my bishop sees it, and I just kind of sheepishly smile, hey.
You're signing them in the back of the
I know, hey.
There you go. There
anybody got a Sharpie?
Go. Yeah. Go ahead. It's cool. 10% is coming back to the
That's
building.
Right. Come so on. Keep buying them. Keep awesome. Buying them.
Does it pay pretty well? I don't want to get into details of it, but do you feel like it's
worth it? It's a great job. I would not leave on weekends if it was not good for our family.
Is it most weekends?
Yeah. Really? I'm gone usually 2 to 3 weekends. Or sorry, yeah. 3 out of 4 weekends a month.
She travels a lot.
I don't know. Doing what kind of stuff? Is it like Zumba parties where it's like, oh, the ladies come down to the convention center and
you know what?
It's Zumba from...
Tell them about the trip you just took with Emily.
Like, oh my gosh. So,
yeah, with Emily. Tell me about the
trip
with Emily.
So my sister, Emily.
Emily is her sister who is also an instructor.
Okay.
Yes, and I made her become an instructor because I needed a permanent substitute for when I travel so much. My husband, interestingly enough, when I started working with Zumba, or when opportunity even came about with Zumba, my husband works for SEO.com.
Yeah.
He does search engine optimization. If someone wants to get on a Google search, you need someone like my husband's company to do that. Wink, wink. And SEO.com. His name is Brian Martin. So he decided to work from home to be an independent contractor for them. And then it was like 2 months later, I went to a Zumba convention and I met the CEO, the creator, the head of production, the head of global marketing, all these people. And it was about just a few weeks later that I received an email asking if I wanted to audition for the next set of DVDs. And this is kind of how everything spiraled. Mm-hmm. And so from that point on, anytime I've been gone, my husband's been with the kids. So
Which is a patient husband. Kudos to Brian Martin.
He is the best guy you could ever.
Because I'm terrible when wife's gone.
I know. It's
and it's not it's even hard. Looking after kids. I'm just like, I want someone to play with.
Oh, totally. He's like, where's all the fun? I go to bed and I'm all by myself in the bed and it's just boring. But we've got a good system worked out. And so my kids, it's a very good structure for them because when I am home, I'm a full-time mom. Mm-hmm. And when I'm gone, Brian kicks it into high gear and he works his schedule around the kids' schedule so that they're able to have a normalcy and not feeling like they're taken from daycare to grandma's house to neighbors. Right. They're either with him or they're with me. Mm-hmm. And so, what am I talking about?
The trip that you as an example of the kind of traveling that you do.
So something I do for Zumba is either I'll go and teach other people how to teach. Uh-huh. So I do those day trainings that I once attended.
Are some people just terrible?
Once in a while, you find someone you're like, ooh, it's gonna be a rough road. But I have come so far from where I was that I know determination and hard work speaks volumes.
Okay.
So I don't worry too much about them. But I also do I do charity events. We do our big Zumba conventions that have 8,000 participants and stars such as Shaq and Daddy Yankee, which I don't know if you know him, but he's big in the Latin music.
Oh,
huge.
Sure, Daddy Yankee.
Pitbull.
Si.
Yeah.
Si, senor. So we have all these big celebrities coming in and it's a really huge thing. You perform on a stage for 8,000 people,
leading them
all in one huge fitness thing. But a lot of weekends I do education. And so this particular trip with my sister Emily, I had to bring somebody because I knew it was going to be the worst trip ever. I usually travel by myself. Uh-huh. My husband books my flight, gets my rental car, gets my everything in order.
Jeez, I need to get a husband like you.
Oh, I know, for real. I get in the car. Do I have my phone? Yeah, you have
your
phone.
It's right here, and you've got a 330 with so-and-so. You better eat this.
And I've uploaded this software and this on this and this update. He's phenomenal. So we go to, after a 3.5-hour delay, we arrive in Washington.
D.C. or the state?
The state.
Okay.
That over the course of 3.5 days and 6 hours, maybe 9 hours of driving, the entire state is covered by a rain cloud.
Yeah.
I have never seen anything like it. I thought, surely I'm going to drive 3 hours. I'm going to get out of this storm. The entire state. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I was perplexed. So we arrive in Seattle. We drive an hour. I teach an hour and a half masterclass. We had a 3.5-hour delay, so I was already an hour late to this class. I'm all jittery and shaky and nervous, and I was driving in a puddle the entire way there. So I was not feeling up to my best game.
Sure.
Sure.
You were bringing your C game.
That's right. It was C minus maybe. But then the music kicks in, the adrenaline kicks in, and we're good. So then I teach an hour and a half class. We drove 2.5 hours to Spanaway.
Sure.
Spent the night. Went to bed at 2 a.m., woke up at 6 a.m. I had an all-day training from 7:30 to 5:30. Mm. Then at 7, there's another hour and a half masterclass. So I'm dancing all day long, and then there's another hour and a half class, like what we had this morning.
Mm-hmm. I went to class for everyone listening.
That's right.
He did.
I rocked that.
Yes, he did. He did. Really good.
Thank you.
That's why when I got here, I was like, clearly that's not your first Zumba class.
I've only been once or twice, but I minored in dance in college.
Shut up.
It's true. Let's move on from me.
You're a study.
Let's move on. Let's move on from me to you.
All right. So then the next day we drove. That night, we drove 3.5 hours to Vancouver, actually to Portland. I stayed at my friend's house in Portland, drove a half hour to Vancouver, did the same thing again. 9-hour training with cleanup and setup, hour and a half masterclass. Then we went back to Portland, stayed the night, took a 6 a.m. flight to Spokane, arrived at 7:30, which we almost missed the flight. Mm-hmm. I was hauling A through the airport, almost plowed over this cute little Asian woman with my 3 pieces of luggage with supplies and clothes that I sell. Got to Spokane, did the whole thing again, and then the masterclass at the end. My body couldn't work. I mean, it was 4 hour-and-a-half masterclasses and 3 full-day trainings in 3.5 days. And my sister and I were just delirious and tired and fatigued. And we laughed so hard that night over nothing. It's when you're just so tired and so giddy. Mm-hmm. I was on the floor in the middle of the hotel lobby or the hotel hallway, almost peeing my pants over just random things that happened. And finally, I could relax to let them soak in and really find the humor in them. Mm-hmm. It was funny. It was very fun. But it's so fun for my sister and I to have this because we are very close anyway. Mm-hmm. And there, you don't really understand Zumba unless you're in it.
Sure.
Like, you don't really understand like Mormons.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Unless you're in it. You don't understand the culture, why we act the same way. I have people ask me, why don't you drink? I've never drank anything in my life. I'm 30 years old. I'm not going to start now, you know. But you've never had one sip. No, I haven't. You've never smoked one cigarette? No, I haven't. But why? Like, why not a glass of red wine to celebrate? Well, you know, it's a religious belief that I have, and I think there are other things that are harder to follow in life, and I'm going to try and, you know, stay strong on this one. They don't get Mormons.
Right.
And you don't get Zumba unless you're in Zumba.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
One question kind of randomly, when you're on the road, do you try and make it to church? Or is it just impossible because you got class all day?
It's impossible. What I try and do.
Yeah.
I try and make my trainings not on Sunday. And mm-hmm. that was one of the things when I was applying for my position. I said, do I have to have trainings on Sunday? Because otherwise I can't do this job.
Right.
I mean, if I let my religion flop, then what good is the job? I don't think that
some things are worth money, but not that.
Exactly.
Sure.
And this opportunity kind of came to me. I didn't necessarily go out seeking it, but I'm a really hard worker, and so other opportunities have come from it. And religion is a very important thing, and my marriage is a very important thing, and nothing's worth more than that. But there are some studios or some fitness centers that will not allow you to take up a Friday and Saturday at their gym because they have to cancel all the days classes because mm-hmm. you're there all day long and the members get mad, so they prefer a Saturday and Sunday. But there are some places that I have a good relationship with, and I say, you know, can we swap weeks? Can I do a Friday, Saturday there? You know, I can start later in the day so you can still have your morning classes. And then I usually can get an early flight home, get home by 10:30, and then we have 1 o'clock church.
Boom.
But starting January, it's 9 a.m.
church.
Yeah. So it's going to be a struggle. And we haven't quite figured out what we're going to do with that. But maybe just seek out more places that will host me on a Friday, Saturday.
Or just go to a different ward and go later.
Yeah. Or just go to a different religion.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
Just forget that Sunday stuff.
Yeah.
No, but I can still.
Saturday.
No, I would be hosed. I need like a Monday.
Yeah.
Anyone got a Monday out there?
I need a Monday church. The doctrine, not necessarily important.
Yeah, just Monday.
I just really need to say Monday.
I go to church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's. I think I'll have to go to 1 p.m. It's worked out really good this year. Maybe I can have my bishop just switch it for me.
I think he
might be willing.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
I don't think so either.
I'll give you a free signed copy of We Zumba,
Bish. I know. It's like, hey, think I could trade? Yeah. Is it worth it? Christmas time.
Come on, Bish. Okay. Do you have a calling right now?
Yeah.
What is it?
I am a Relief Society teacher.
If you could pick a calling for yourself, what calling would you pick?
I'd have to pick this because I told them I need a calling this once a month.
Uh-huh.
I said, realistically, it was so great when we moved into the ward just in February. The bishopric came over to the house and they said, we want to know about you and what your interests of callings, what callings you've had before, which was, I thought, perfect.
That's great.
I know. And I said, realistically, right now with my schedule, I'm going to be getting substitutes all the time. I said, I need a calling that's once a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, or every other week on Sunday. I said, but it's really hard for me to do young women's because during the week, like I don't do anything during the week. When I'm home, I like to be home. Mm-hmm. My friends, my girlfriends will plan things and I just don't do them because I get my outlet. I have to channel my outlet through work. And so when I am home, I have to stay home. It just is my sanity. And so Wednesday nights for young women's it's a real tough one. And I had it in my old ward and it was a struggle every week. I loved the girls, but I had such little time in the week with my family. I love teaching Relief Society. It's been a huge stretch for me because, I mean, remember our like first question, how did I get into Zumba? I did not ever think I'd be a teacher of mm-hmm. any kind. Mm-hmm. I didn't like getting up in front of people. Remember when my husband and I were first married and we had to give talks?
And I don't remember that.
It was torturous. And I was all nervous and my dad wrote every talk for me. I mean, now writing a talk on my own is like torture. It's like, come on now. You have anything from the grave you'd like to send me? Inspiration. But my husband is very encouraging and tries to push me to be a better person. He's like, I want you to feel comfortable speaking in church. Mm-hmm. It's just church. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know if you need me to remind you, but you did not marry a Sherry Dew, okay? Right. I am not that person. And I'm so sorry to disappoint you, but I'm not that go forth and fight kind of woman. And I don't speak in front of people and I'm not comfortable with that. And now I don't always think that I have the best lessons, you know, but I'm so much more confident and comfortable speaking in front of people, whether they take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm. Conversely, I had the image in my mind of Sherry Dew doing Zumba. I was like, I wonder if Sherry does a class somewhere.
Hmm. Oh, she better.
Yeah. She better, Sherry. Come on. Oh, that would be great.
Final question. What is your favorite part of your faith?
Oh, that's a good question. My favorite part of my faith is knowing where I came from, why I'm here, and where I'm going. Life is full of uncertainties, and having a image of having the big picture in mind and knowing that this is something that we're all going through and that there's life after this and we'll be with our loved ones again. I mean, especially since my dad died, the afterlife is something that I know is going to be wonderful, and I'm sure he'll be right there ready to greet me.
For sure.
When that day comes.
Now, before we let you go, we ask people to climb up on the Rammy Umptum and tell people where they can find you or follow you or socially meet you, those kind of things. Please.
So, Cass Martin is my name. KassMartin, like shake your beep, with Cass Martin, like Ricky Martin. And you can find me at my blog, www.cassmartin.com. You can find me on Facebook at Cass Martin ZES, which stands for Zumba Education Specialist, or on my fan page, Cass Martin. And where else?
Instagram.
I'm on Instagram.
Objection.
What's my name?
Leading the guest.
Oh, I know. What's my name? Like it. It's Cass Martin.
I think it's Cass Martin.
I think it's just plain Cass Martin. And you can find me when I'm in Utah at Gold's Gym University Monday, Tuesday. No, that's wrong.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday
at 10:30 at Center Stage Dance Studio. Saturdays at 9, which I teach once a month. But my sister Emily teaches there. You can find me on Zumba.com too. Find an instructor, you find Cass Martin.
Boom. Thank you.
Boom, shakalaka, boom.
Thank you for being here in the Cultural Hall with us. We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that when the time comes, we will all travel home in safety.
And that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week.
That's right.
In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
In the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat.